All right, so we're on top of Nuna Aleph.
Huh?
So if you remember, okay. All right, if you're all right, everybody, let's focus. So if you remember yesterday's Gemara, we had the question from by Reb Lazar. Reb Lazar was asking, according to the Tana, which is from Meir, who holds the Par Yom Kippurim is Korban Yachid, is it susceptible to making tzmura or not? In other words, if I have my own private animal, so I could say this is instead of that, B is instead of A, and then A and B both become Kadosh. But if it's a Korban Shutfim, I can't do that. So he said, what's the story with the par of the Kohen Gadol? And then to support the idea that that it was a Korban Tzibur, the Gemara quoted a Braisa, and the Braisa says, Homer, this is in the middle of when I'm based, Homer B'Zebach Mibitmura is a stringency with the Zebach Korban over Timura. So the Korban the Gemara thought was the par, and the Homer Timur B'Zebach. Homer B'Zebach, the stringency of the Zebach, and it could be, or the tzibur could be yachid, the tzibur like the yachid, meaning the par is a korban katat, so it applies in the tzibur like the yachid. In other words, the tzibur could bring a katat and the yachid could bring it. And it makes tamura. So I didn't say right. So it makes tamura. So mainla, then that's the raya. That's the raya that it's a korban yachid. So in other words, so our question was: are the other kohanim, are they shareholders in the korban? So if it makes tamura, they're not shareholders in it, and that was the raya we wanted to bring. And then the gemara said, no, it's not talking about that. It's talking about elo shel Aharon, his isle that he brings, that he also brings from his own money. So yeah, you please put that back when you're done, okay, Robert?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So the Gemara says, let's take a look back at the Gemara and then Aleph Mid Aleph. So on line four, the Rav Sheshet, I've been looking at the Ibn Shlaron. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Sheshet, who says the Brisa, when it referred to Zebach, is talking about Elo Shlaron, Aaron's ram, and that again, just like he brings a par, he brings an isle, and they're both out of his own pocket. So he says, according to Rav Sheshet, instead of saying it's talking about the isle of Aaron, Lukma b'Pesach. Why does he say it's talking about the Korban Pesach? The Docha de Shabbat. We're looking for something that Docha Shabbos can make Mura, the Korban Yachid, Docha Shabbat, Yeratuma. So Pesach is Docha Shabbos, or it means Erev Pesach, when it falls on a Shabbos, we bring Korban Pesach. And Tuma, it's Tuma Huchbet Sibur, and so forth. He says, Ba'osa Tumura, and it's susceptible to making Tumura, the Korban Yachid. So why did he not suggest, or you know, that it would be that korban? So the Gemara says Kesavar in Shokin of Pesach al Yachid, because he holds Rav Sheshet holds like the Tana who holds that you can't shech the korban Pesach for an individual. In other words, if I want to bring korban Pesach with no guests, I can't shech the korban Pesach. I have to have at least another person with me in the korban Pesach, and Rashi brings down the Tana that holds that way. If you look in the Rashi, 10 lines in the bottom, Sovereign Shokin Pesach al Yachid, for Rabbi Yehuda the Amar, Hasi Masech Psachim, like Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the Yali Flam, Bachad Sharecha. So there's a Pasuk. So the Pshuto Shomikra means you can't eat the Korban Pesach in outside of Yerushalayim. You can't bring it wherever you want. But the drasha is lo tuchalu fall at a Pesach be'achat. You can't bring the Korban Pesach as one individual. One person can never bring the Korban Pesach. But kamen deino babalo shutfut eino set tumura. So since it, you always have to need a partner, so then it doesn't fit the bill. So since Rav Sheshet feels that way, he didn't suggest that would be it. So the Gemara says, but we're not done. The milchma Pesach sheni. Why can't we say that when it's the zevah, it's talking about Pesach sheni? He says, so Pesach sheni would definitely be a yachid, because he says, you know, ishish kia tamei. If a person's tamei, so he'll bring Pesach sheni. So there, he would be an individual. So the Gemara says, midach yituma. Would Pesach sheni be docha tumur? Because like that doesn't fit the bill. All right. Now, I'm on the Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, the Rava. Now, okay, so that's that first piece. Does anybody have questions on what we just did? Everybody okay?
How do we...
Okay, just 1 second, Aaron Moshe. I quoted the Braisa, and the Braisa said about the Zevach. So the Gemara says, why does... So we thought the Zevach was talking about Paro Shel Aaron. And the Gemara says, no, it's talking about Elo Shel Aaron. So he said, why doesn't he suggest it's talking about the Korban Pesach? Because we want something in the Braisa that's Docha Shabbos, Docha Tumah, and make Tamura. So why didn't he say the Korban Pesach? Seems like a wonderful example. Right. So that's the answer with that. Okay. Aaron Moshe, you wanted to ask something?
No, I was going to say that that it's something akin to what with the Tamura. They say that in Europe, a cousin of mine, the Rebbe Hesh, the Chayv Rebbe, used to stay in Shemoneh for 2 hours. So one time the Talmidim said, we'll go home and make Kiddush, we'll learn a little bit, and we'll come back, and the Rebbe will be finished with the Shemoneh. So they came back, he was sitting waiting for them. So they said, they asked the Rebbe, said, the Rebbe always stands 2 hours Shemoneh. How, what happened now? He says, you all went home. He says, I'm Malo in my Shemoneh, I'm Malo your tefillahs. If you're not here, I don't have to be. I'm not Ma'ali your tefillahs. It's the same thing, right? like the Temura with the whether it's a yachid or a tzibur. Whether it's a, you know, it's similar to what we were talking about with the Temura. Whether the carbon from Aaron is a carbon yachid. So then you can do Temura. It's not
I hear with the paro shel Aaron. It means whether it's the kvita.
What does Ma'ali your tefillah mean?
Listen, just one second. All right, one second. Okay. So you meant that whether it's kfiuta or it's kufya, that's what you meant, Aaron Moshe. Okay. Now, who wanted to speak? Ruth, you wanted to ask something? Ruth, unmute yourself. Ruth.
Malta. Yeah. What? My question.
No. Please. We can't have conversations between people. Do you have a question, Ruth? Oh, Malka has a question? Okay, Malka, where are you?
I'm right here. Malka? Yeah, I'm up? Here.
What's up? Did you have a question? You have a question? All right.
Yes, sorry. What does Ma'ale your tefillot mean?
So that's Aaron Moshe was one saying the story, but he meant that, if I could explain, that the Rebbe helps bring the other tefillot go up to Shemayim. He assists the other tefillot. That's what I think what he's saying. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the Gemara now. Okay, everybody mute themselves. Okay, everybody mute themselves. All right. So let's back to the Gemara and then Aleph Amud Aleph 51a. So we're picking up from yesterday's sugya. So if you remember on Nun Amud Aleph, we got into the issue about you know, how could the second Kohen go forward with the service with the par when it's a chatat shemaytu baaleha. And then Rabbi Barabbas said to Rabba that your Talmidim say that it's a chatat sibur. And then we brought a proof or they brought a proof from a Mishnah or a Braisa. There's a question whether it's the Mishnah or the Braisa. So the Tanakhama said that a chatat sibur is docha Shabbos, docha tuma. And a korban yachid is not docha Shabbos, is not docha tuma. And then Reb Meir said, but the par of Yom Kippur and the Kohen Gadol and the Pesach are korban yachid and the docha Shabbos. So since Reb Meir said it's a korban yachid, we assume the Tanakhama held it was the korban seaboard. That was the proof. But in the conversation, Reb Meir said that the Pesach is a korban yachid. Then the Gemara also mentioned Reb Yaakov said to the Tanakhama that parlam davashal tzibur shir b'rukhav and the chagigar korban tzibur and the not docha Shabbos and not docha tuma. The key is that Ramirez says that Pesach is a korban yachid and Rabbi Yaakov says the chagigar is a korban tzibur. Okay, so let's keep back on the Gemara. So we're on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says Amalei Rav Huna with Rebbe Shul Rava Betana Maishna Pesach the karele korban yachid Maishna chagigar the karele korban tzibur. So he says, why does the Tana, in other words, it means that Reb Meir, in the dialogue that we quote on Nun Amud Aleph, he calls the Pesach the Korban Yachid, but then Reb Yaakov calls the Chagiga Korban Sibur. In other words, so why is the Chagiga, the Pesach categorized as Korban Yachid, and Chagiga Korban categorized as Korban Sibur? So Imishum Da'ati B'Knufia, maybe he'll say, well, he calls the Chagiga Korban Sibur because you always bring the chagiga with a whole, you know, group of people. So it comes with kinufia. So the Gemara says that in that case, Pesach nami yachid kinufia. The Pesach also comes with a whole cluster of people. So that can't be why one. So the Gemara says, ita Pesach sheni lo yachid kinufia. You're right. In other words, he's going with kinufia, but when he says the Pesach is a korban yachid, he means Pesach sheni. His Hasheni is brought by an individual. That's what he says, the Korban Yachid. And when he says about the Chagiga, that always comes the Kinuchi. That always comes with the whole Tevra, because you bring it on the Yantid for a whole group. So he says, Amar Le, Im Kein, Yehi Dochen HaShabbat B'yadatuma. So if that's the case, that with the Pesach Sheni, that it doesn't come the Kinuchi, and it's Kavula Zman, so Mamela, it should be Docha Shabbos and Docha Tuma. So again, we said, again, so in the Braisa, Rameir said, I'm leaving out the other Korbano, the Pesach is a Korban Yachid, and it's Docha Shabbos and Docha Tuma. That's what we said. It's Docha Shabbos and Docha Tuma. So we said, what Pesach is he talking about? He's talking about Pesach Sheni, because it's Korban Yachid. So if that's the case, so the Pesach Sheni should be Docha Shabbos and Docha Tuma. So Amalei, that we think it's not, so Amalei in. He says, yeah, that's right. Kamanda Amar Dachi. In other words, this Tana, Rameir, is going according to the Tana who holds that Pesach Sheni is Docha Tuma. We'll see in a minute. The Tanya, we learned the Braisa. Pesach Sheni Docha to Shabbat, but Eino Docha to Tuma. The Pesach Sheni is Docha Shabbos, but it's not Docha Tuma. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ab Docha to Tuma. I should have focused on Tuma. So there's Machloket whether it's Docha Tuma. In other words, Pesach Rishon, so if most of the Hebrews Tama is Docha Tuma. If I'm an individual, most sefers tahor, then I have to bring it in a siddur. Then I bring Pesach Sheni because I have to bring a siddur tahara. But Pesach Sheni, the simple pashtus is always has to be going to siddur tahara. That was the backup for it. So he says, but Lefora, he's learning that it's docha tuma in the braisa with docha tuma and docha Shabbos. So with the Tana, so he says, so the Tana Kama says. It's Docha Shabbos or Docha Tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Docha Tuma. Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that Pesach Sheni is also Docha Tuma. Meaning, if the person would be in a state of Tuma and he didn't bring Pesach Rishon, Mela he'll end up bringing Pesach Sheni. This is my time at the Tana Kama. What's the reason for the Tana Kama who holds and it's not Docha Tuma? So Amar Lach. So the Tana Kama would say to you, Nei Tuma Dichito B'yeh Sabatuma. Or is the whole reason we push this person off from Pesach Rishon? Because he was Tamei, and we don't want him to bring him a Tuma. And then you're going to say, well, you bring Pesach Sheni instead of Tuma? It's not Mestaber that he could bring in a state of Tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lach, Rabbi Yehuda would say to you, Amar Kra, that it says, you met Pesach Sheni like all the dinim of Pesach Rishon, Bafila Batuma, even Batuma. In other words, if it's in a state of Tuma, you'll bring it in a state of Tuma. HaTorah Hekzira La'Las Tobatara, Torah encourages him. Or you know that he should bring in a siddur tahara, but lo zachah, it's not zoche. Yes, senu betuma. He'll make it a siddur tuma. So again, so when he referred to korban pesach here, he's referring to pesach sheni. That's the one that's a korban yachid. And in the Tanami holds zoche shabbos zoche tuma. And the reference to the korban chagiga is right in korban chagiga, but it comes with kinufia, so he feels it's a korban sibur. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Hey, what's up? All right, here's that soup. So it means okay, I got it. All right, we're talking about the Korban Pesach. So Korban Pesach Rishon, there's two shots at it. You have Pesach Rishon on the 14th of Nisan, and then you have Pesach Sheni on the 14th of Iyar. So Pesach Rishon should be brought in a state of Tahara. If most of the Tzibur is Tamei, or most of the Konim are Tameim, you'll bring it in a state of Tuma. You have that? All right. Pesach Rishon. Okay, now we're up to Pesach Sheni. Let's say the person was Tamei and Pesach Rishon. So according to the Tana Kama, he has to bring Pesach Sheni in a state of Tahara. But according to one Tana, which is Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're not in a state of Tahara, you want to say we're not in a state of Tahara of Pesach Rishon. And you're not in a state of Tahara of Pesach Sheni, you'll still bring the Korban Pesach Sheni. In a state of tumor. I don't have a feeling roof here. It's my focus tonight. Okay. It looks like the way the Rambam passing is not Docha Tuma. The way the Rambam passing is not Docha Tuma. It's Pesach Sheni. Okay. Everybody agrees that apparently it's Docha Shabbos. Yeah. Okay. Now, all right. Let's see further in the Gemara. Now, again, we had the question about the par of the Kohen Gadol. So we said everybody agrees that the Kohen Gadol pays out of his own pocket for that par, which is a par, which is a chata. And everybody agrees that he's going to be mitbada not only for his own aveirot and his household, but for Achav HaKohen, for his brother Kohen. It says in Chumash, v'chiper bado v'ad beito. So Mela, v'ad beito, it's repeated twice. Zal teaches v'ad beito is referring to his brethren Kohen as well. So everybody agrees that his brethren Kohen get kapara with it. So we had a question before, this was in yesterday's da. So what is the mechanism through which his brethren Kohen get kapara? Is it that he buys it and somehow they get like a share in the animal? Or he buys it, it's his korban, they don't get a share in it, but they're dragged along with it. They're dragged along with it. And then Afkamina, if it's his korban, then it's susceptible to tamura. If it's their korban, it's not susceptible to tamura. Okay, so now on Nun Aleph Amud Bey is the top line, 51b, the top line. Okay, so it says, but typically, the Ashalo Amar Rahmana, you know, I hate to bother you, Yosef. You feel like getting me a Chumash, I'm so sorry. Okay, thank you. So he says, oh no, he's a good man. He's a good man.
That's why you're
okay. Please. Okay. All right. Let's see. All right. Anyway. All right. Okay. Now, in Chumash, it says in Parshat Remod, it says three times that this par is his. So it says v'kriv arona par chatad shelo. That's in, if you want to follow in Parashat Zayin, Pasuk Vav, page 638. That's, so it says Ashelo once. Then, a few Pasukim later, in Pasuk Yid Aleph, it says it another two times. The Grieve Revo Parakat Adashelo, another twice. So three times the Torah says that he's going to bring Parakat Adashelo. It's his. So the Gemara darkens this out now. So let's take a look. Okay, the top line on Nun Aleph is, okay, but typically the Ashelo, Amarachmana, Mishalohu maybe. So why can't we determine the answer to this from the fact he's going to say that the Torah says three times Ashalo, it means that they're not shareholders. It's his korban, and we'll see how this is going to work out. He says, the Tani, we learn the Braisa, Ashalo, Mishalohu maybe, but Mishal Tzibur. So the first Ashalo he darshans, it has to be from the money, from the assets of the Kohen Gadol, and not from the Tzibur, not from communal funds. So I might have thought from the tzibur he shouldn't take, because then they don't get kapara from it. So why should they pay for it? But I might think he should get like a collection from his brethren konim, because they're getting their beneficiaries of it. They're getting kapara. They're getting atonement from it. So tam lomar asherlo. So this is asherlo again. So no, it has to be his, not from a tzibur. I might have thought he shouldn't bring a par from the tzibur or from the kohenim. In other words, he shouldn't get money from the tzibur, and he shouldn't get money from the kohenim. He may be kasher, but if he did bring it, the d'yevet, it would be kasher. Tamalomar shuv ashalo shenatsuv la'akev. It's a klal in kachim when the pasuk repeats something twice. It's le'ikuva. In other words, it's essential. Now, so the Gemara thinks, so from this braisa, we think, is that not mukhra? It's not that they get a share in the par. It's the kufya. They're getting dragged along. Not the shareholders in it. Let's look at the first Rashi on this. But typically, by the Reb Lazar Glael, we should be able to resolve the question of Reb Lazar earlier. The par yom kippurim da konim bekufya who the mitzapi day. The konim bekufya. Remember, kufya Rashi said is like floating. They're ancillary to it. Because the Torah writes Ashalo three times, when they utate Tzibur, the Chavakonim, the Lo Midid Huati. In other words, it can't be from the Tzibur, it can't be from the other Konim. Kalata Ashalo Tzibur Bey, it says three times Ashalo, the Trey Kroyan, Tuksukim. The Griv Aaron, the Gomer, the first week Griv Aaron that was in the Chumash, that was on page 638, that was Pasuk Vav. And then it says, Tanyana, and then it says Vikriv again, that's in Pasuk Yud Aleph, and then it says Vishakara Parakatara Shalo. And at the end of that same Pasuk, it says Vishakara Parakatara Shalo, so three times. So let's see back in the Gemara, and then we'll pause in a minute. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, according to that rationale, so his brethren Konim, he loved the Kanu Begabe Hechi Machaper Lahu. If not that they acquired a share in that korban,
How do they get kapara? How does this working? In other words, it's his. So how am I getting kapara? In other words, you're bringing korban kachat. How do I get kapara with it? Ella, he says, or hitting the top of the who, after kufya. So Ella, shani begaz the aron the afkiri rachmana gavi achavakonim. So you have to say, the Gemara wants to say, that the Torah is like Beit Gaza de Aaron, means like storehouse, his assets. The Torah is mezaka them from his assets. That's what it's saying. Dr. Rachmana Gabi Chavakonim. So that being the case, Hacha Gabi Turinami, Shani Beit Gaza de Aaron, Dr. Rachmana Gabi Chavakonim. So maybe for Tumura purposes as well, we'll say that Dr. Rachmana, that Mumela we viewed as a korban hashifim, even though they didn't, you know, give money, we could view them still as shareholders. In other words, it's not mufrak, even though the Torah says Ashalo three times. And it seems that only the Kohen Gadol is paying his money, but the Torah is mezaka the other Kohenim in some fashion. So what is this structure in which the Kohenim is mezaka these other Kohenim? So I could say it's mezaka them, nothing I was paying for it, but the Torah is treating it as if it's their korban and they're getting kapara with it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything?
So what does it mean? They're not shareholders, but they get dragged along. What is the dragged along?
Okay, so again, there's two. Aaron brings a par. He brings a bull on Yom Kippur as a korban chatat, as a sin offering. He pays for it from his own money. They don't pay for it.
Right.
But the konim get kapara for it. They get atonement from it. So the Gemara has a question. What is the nature of their atonement? Is it bikviuta or is it bikufya? Bikviuta means that we view them as shareholders, equal owners in the par, even though they did not pay for it. Or the other way is that we don't view them as owners, but bikufya, that they just get dragged along and they get kapara. So the nafkamina between those two is whether a person can make tamura from that animal. If it's a korban yachid, if we view Aaron as the sole owner, so it's susceptible to tamura. But if he's not the sole owner, so then it's not susceptible to tamura. Are you good?
Thank you.
Saying that, although the Kohen Gadol buys the par from his own money, the Torah rendered his property ownerless. And consequently, according to the Rambam, all the Kohanim are shuttim in that par.
Okay.
Therefore, they get the
kapara. All right. Okay. All right. Everybody good? Okay. So
can you repeat what he just said?
That's going back for you, too. All right. Why did that follow?
Can you read the last line of the Rambam, Michael, again?
She wants you to read on the last line again.
The last two lines.
The Kohen Gadol buys his bull with his own money.
Right.
The Torah rendered his property ownerless and considered all the properties, all the Kohanim, joint owners in his korban. Rambam Sefer Avodah Hilchot Avodah Yom HaKippurim 5 Halacha 5 C 13.
I understand that it would be ownerless as to the other Kohanim, but why would it be ownerless as to Aaron? That's my question.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to say like this. This is something
according
like
to the Rambam, you can't do tomorrow.
The basic idea is Aaron is buying it; it's his property, but it is part of it, even without his participation, by act of law, is some of it transferred to the Kohanim. That's basically what it's coming out to. I mean, he's framing it as hefker, but the idea is, in other words, is the Torah mezaka the other Kohanim with a share in the par. That's the basic idea. That's the way.
And according to the Rambam,
That's the way the Rambam is learning that they're getting a zikui. They're getting a share in the animal. That's the way the Rambam is learning.
Carbon yachter.
Right. Okay. And then the other way is bikufya, where they don't have any share in it, but they get dragged along with the kapar without having a share. Okay. I got to move on because we only have limited time. Please excuse me. Okay. So I'm going on to the next Mishnah. Okay. Everybody mute themselves. Mute. Everybody mute. Okay. So, and I really have to give a big thank you to Oded Weiss, who gave me this beautiful picture book of Marot Yoma, and these pictures come out very handy here. So if you have the picture book, and if not, we'll try to pass them around so you'll see it.
and I wasn't able to access it on the screen, but the
I have a soft book.
I hear. All right. Well. So, okay. Okay. Let's take a look. All right. Let's take a look now. All right. So this is in the book. It's on page 99. Please. Okay. We'll talk later. Okay. So the Mishnah says, "Manithin, I am a halif behechal." So now it's the Kohen Gadol is entering the Kodesh Kedashim, or he wants to enter the Kodesh Kedashim. In his right hand, he has the he's got the coals, right? The machta. And his left hand, he's got the kaf. He's got the ladle with the turret. So manithin, I am a halif behechal. So he goes to the Heichal to the place between two curtains. In other words, the Mishnah is saying there are two curtains that divide the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedashim. The Kodesh is where the Shulchan is, where the menorah is, and where the Shulchan Apnim is, the golden Mizbeach, I should say. And then the inner one is just an empty space, and by its shining, there's no Aaron there. And Mahalat Hechal and Shmegila Ben Shtei Parochot, and Mahalat Ben Kodesh Ben Kodesh Kodeshim, Uben Ehenama. So there's a space of one Amma between the two curtains. So it comes out during the time of the first base of Mikdash, there was a wall there. There was a wall. It was called Teraxin. So the second bayit was taller than the first base of Mikdash. The first base of Mikdash was 30 amot in height, and the second base of Mikdash was 40 amot in height. The wall was one amma in thickness, but the one amma thick wall couldn't structurally sustain a 40-foot height. That's the way it came out. So because of that, they didn't build the wall in the second base of Mikdash. So he says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, the Tan Rabbi Yossi said there was one curtain. The pasuk says the parochet, which is the curtain, to divide between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedashim. So it means like this: according to the Chachamim, there are two curtains, and the reason there are two curtains, the Gemara is going to explain, they're not sure of the status of the thickness of the wall that existed. In other words, what is the status of the space that was occupied by the wall that's not there anymore? So is that space considered Kodesh Kedashim, or is that space considered be Kodesh? They're not sure, so they put two curtains up. So if you're in the Kodesh Kedashim, you're not going to go past the inner curtain. You're not going to leave the Kodesh Kedashim. If you're in the Kodesh, you're not going to go past the first curtain. And so that everybody will be good. Okay, so the space we're not sure is covered by the two curtains. And then Rabbi Yossi says there's only one curtain because the Torah says, "Mevdila parochim kodesh ben kodeshim." So whichever way he's paskening, that's where he puts the curtain. Okay, now, let me further in the Gemara, and then I'll pause in a minute. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Shapir kamen hu Rabbi Yossi Rabbanan." So the Gemara says Rabbi Yossi has got a great argument to the Chachamim. The pasuk says, "Mevdila parochim lachem." The curtain will divide. You have one curtain. The Rabbanan Amri Lach, the Chachamim would respond to you, "Hani mi the b'mishkan." That was true in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, in the Midbar, of a Mikdashani, but during the time of the second base of Mikdash, came to Lo'avai Amat Teraxin. The Amat Teraxin wasn't there. So if you look at Rashi, the first Rashi, which is around the sixth narrow line upstairs, Gemara Amat Teraxin, Tachnik Rei Kotel Mechitza, that's what the Kotel was called, Teraxin, Kipsik Mikdash Rishon, of a Mikdashani Shagavoa, and he cracks on the side, you can make it thicker. That all the dimensions were from Hashem. Now, if you look at Tosfos, Teraxin, he says, Pirish Rashi, Panim Chutz, Vish Mefarshim. In other words, in our Rashi, I didn't see it clearly this way. In other words, once they Teraxin, means panim and chutz, means inside and outside. But he says, v'yesh mefarshim traksim shon truku galei. Truku galei means like close the doors. Shesagura haya lefnim heimenu haluchot shenu b'sinai. In other words, trak is closed off, and you have sin is Sinai. So in other words, inside where luchot were, where the Aaron was. So the area where the luchot are is closed off. So that's trak sin. It's closed off. tracks in. So let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, Abikashani came into Lohavai Amat Traxin in the Beit. There wasn't an Amat Traxin. Abikash Rishon who the Havai is Tapnu the Rabban and Bikushate. So coming from a Supak, what is the status of the space, you know, the footprint of that wall? Ekilif the Mikilachutz. Is it like the Kodesh Kadashim or is it like the Kodesh? But Avuch stay Parochot. So I made two Parochot to make sure that nobody, if you're in the Kodesh, that you're not going to go past that curtain. Kodesh Kadashim, you won't go past the other curtain. Either way, you'll be sure you're in the right place. Okay, lucid questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far. Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, now, Tanu Rabbanan, Bein HaMizbeach L'Menorah, Hiyam HaHalech, Div Rebbe Yehuda. So if you have the picture, otherwise you have to imagine this. So this is the top picture on page 90. So it says the Kohen Gadol has to enter the Kodesh Kadashim. Now, if you hold that there are two curtains, so the one curtain, in other words, the curtain that abuts the Kodesh is open on the southern side, and then the inner curtain, which abuts the Kodesh Kadashim, is open on the northern side. You have it? So in other words, if I hold there are two curtains, this is the next mission is going to explain this way. If you look here, take a look at Nun Beis Amud Beis. Turn to 52b, Nun Beis Amud Beis, tomorrow's daf, 10 lines down in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Hachitona Haitaprufa Mina Darom. The outer curtain, it was the one that's closest to the Kodesh, was like hoisted up from the south, and it was a little bit lifted up on the south. Upnimi Mina Tzafon. And the inner curtain was lifted up from the north. Mahalech Beinina Shvigila Tzafon. And then he keeps one of his father's realm. So in other words, that's the way the coin would work it. So here, so the first opinion back in our Gemara now on Nun Aleph Amud Beis 51b. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Beinam is Beichel Menorah Yamahalech Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that the Kohen Gadol would walk between the Mizbeachel Menorah. He would take the southern route. He would take the southern route and then go through the opening in the curtain, which is on the southern side. And that's the way he would enter and then go over to the north. Rabbi Meir Omer, the sun, in other words, I'm saying the southern side of the base of the Mikdash, so the southern side of this, the south is the north. So in other words, of the room, the southern side of the room. Okay? So he says...
There's a picture in the art scroll for people who are
okay, art scroll. Okay, so Fern says there's a picture in the art scroll as well. Okay? So the Gemara says... So he says, Rabbi Meir Omer... Rabbi Meir says he would walk between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. And here's the Mizbeach Panimi, and you have the Shulchan. He's going to take the northern route. He's going to take the northern route. Now, if you see in the pictures we have, the northern route, you see is a bigger light coming from the Kodesh Kadashim. But the idea that he's trying to represent is that opens directly into the Kodesh Kadashim. That's why you go through the northern route. In other words, it's one curtain. That's going with the idea there's one curtain. Some say he would walk even more northerly. He would go between the Shulchan and the Kotel. Okay? So the basic idea is he goes to go south or does he go north? And within the north, we have two routes. Okay? Now, the Gemara says, that's the end of the Braisa. The Gemara says, Man Yesh Omrim. Who's the Yesh Omrim? Who's the Yesh Omrim that you're going to hug the northern wall and then go into the Kodesh Kadashim? So Amrav Chista, Rabbi Yossi. So Rav Chisda says, the Yesh Omrim is the Tana Rabbi Yossi, the Amar Pitcha B'Tzachon Koi. He holds that the opening was in the north. In other words, that opening that's there, that opens directly in the Kodesh Kadashim, was in the north. That's why. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lach, and the Tana Rabbi Yehuda would say to you, and he's the Rabbi Yehuda holds, you're going to take the southern route, Pitcha B'Darom Koi. He's going to say, no, the opening's in the south, and then you slip through between the curtains and go to the north. Now, okay, so who's got questions of what we did so far? Everybody good? All right. Now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir. Now, Rabbi Meir was a northerly route, but not as northerly as it could be, right? Rabbi Meir has a northerly route, but sort of like the scenic route. He goes between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan. Rabbi Meir, come on, Sfirulei. Who does the Tana Rabbi Meir hold like? He could Rabbi Yehuda Sfirulei, if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Neol Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, it's really boiling down. Do I hold there's one curtain opening or two curtains opening? So if there's two curtains, then the opening's in the south. If there's one curtain, it's on the north.
So which way does Rameir hold? So the Gemara says, Rameir, come on, Sfirlai, eek Rabbi Yehuda Sfirlai, if he holds like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that the opening was in the south, Neil Rabbi Yehuda. Eek Rabbi Yossi Sfirlai, if he holds like Rabbi Yossi, that the opening was in the north, Neil Rabbi Yossi, then he should hug the northern wall. He should enter between the Shulchan and the wall. So the Gemara says, the Olam Rabbi Yossi Sfirlai, in Achinami, he holds like Rabbi Yossi, that the opening is in the north, but Amar Lach, but Rabbi Meir would say to you, Shulchanot Tzafon V'Daro Munachim, Umavskalei Shulchan V'Lomit Ayalei, that there's an architectural barrier that blocks his path, and that's the Shulchanot. Remember that Shlomo Melech, we had this earlier, but Shlomo Melech made 10 Shulchanot, an additional 10 Shulchanot, right, Fern remembers, and then 10 Menorot as well. So there's more in this Kodesh than maybe we normally imagine that's there. So he, Remeir, holds that there were Shulchanot there, and the Shulchanot were lined up on a north-south axis. So if they're lined up north-south, so they form a barrier to him hugging the northern wall and walking into the Kodesh Kadashim, right? So you can get this picture.
A protrusion, and they're showing it in the picture.
Right. Okay, so there's no way that he can hug the northern wall because there's a whole line of the Shulchanot that's blocking his pathway. Okay.
So how did Rabbi Yoshi hold?
Okay, just a few minutes and I'll pause. Okay, just give me a few minutes. Okay. Shulchanot Tzafon V'Daro Munachim. Umavskalei Shulchan V'lo Mitayalei. Okay, 1 second. The Ebay Dema, or else I could say again, Warren's going to explain this machloket, which way the Shulchanot were placed. Okay, so that's the answer to your question, Aron Moshe. The Ebay Dema, Yolam Mizrach Umarav Munachim. Or, in the alternative, I could say that he, Remeir, holds that the Shulchanot were lined up on an east-west axis. So this would be like the way that Mestama Rabbi Yossi would hold, that the Shulchanot were lined up east-west. So here's the east-west picture.
Parallel to the northern wall.
That's correct. And Remeir, there is room to hug the northern wall, but within that shita, he still doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi because he says, Lav Orachar, it's not their eretz to go directly into the Kodesh this way. Let's look at Rashi in the top line of Rashi on Nun Beis Amud Aleph 52a, the top line of Rashi. L'meil lehedya, L'leiches l'kotel atzvoni kol orach ha'hetal, v'chol sha'a inav yizonot v'beit kodesh kadashim, derech ha'prifa shekenedo. It's not appropriate that he should be gazing at the opening in the Kodesh Kadashim. The Kodesh Kadashim, he has to go in the Kodesh Kadashim, but he shouldn't take in more then he has to take in. That's one way. Or another pshat, you could say, it's like he should come like an eved who's getting permission from his master to enter. Not like, I'm coming in. It's like, I'm the baalim here. I'm walking in. He should walk in Right. That's the way Reb Meir holds. Now, on the top line, on the base of an aleph, what is Rabbi Yossi going to say to that? So if Rabbi Yossi Amarlach, Rabbi Yossi would say to you, Chavivin Yisrael, so it's Vichana Ketuv L'Shaliyah. That the Jewish people are very precious, that they don't require shaliyah. What do these words mean? Let's take a look at Rashi on the second wide line of Rashi on Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yossi Amalach, Habib in Yisrael, Shlo Tzvichan HaKutub L'Shaliyah, Ela Kol Echad Yichan Mepalel Atzmo, meaning everybody prays for himself, Shunemar Asher Yidun Ish Negel Bavo, Uperas Katab L'Abaydazeh. Shlomo HaMelech has this special tefillah when he dedicates the base to Mikdash. He says, everybody who's in affliction, he'll spread his hands and he'll daven. So since Hashem holds us in such high regard, so on Yom Kippur, when we have a representative doing a vote in the Beis HaMikdash, so Rabbi Yossi holds, he's like a Ben Bayit, and the Kaddish Baruch wants him to come in. But there's a different shot which Rabbeinu Chananel brings down. Let's look at, I'll say it outside first, and we'll see it inside. Rabbeinu Chananel heard, learns the Gemara differently. So it's Rechanak the Shaliach, it means that the Kohen Gadol, one of his begadim is the me'il. On the me'il, he has these pa'amonim. He has these bells on the me'il. So, neshma kolo b'bo la kodesh. So, whenever he enters the kodesh, you hear the bells. And it was like his entrance is like it's like ringing the doorbell. Like everybody knows the person's there. But on Yom Kippur, when he's entering the kodesh kadashim, he's not wearing the me'il. He's only wearing the big day abad. So, he's like a ben bayit. And it was like, in my house, I don't ring the doorbell. My house, I just walk in. So that's the way Rabbeinu Chananel learns it. So he said, I'll see it in the Gemara, then we'll see Rabbeinu Chananel, then we'll do a little piece of it, and that'll be it. So he says,
So Rabbi Yossi Amarlach, Rabbi Yossi Amarlach, Rabbi Yossi that the Torah doesn't require a shaliach, the shaliach meaning those bells, he says, and so maybe he can come in. Let me just do another two lines in the Gemara, then we'll see Rabbi Yossi Amarlach. Rabbi Yehuda Nami Neol Bei Menorah Lekotel. So the Gemara says, okay, so we did the opinions, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi. Let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to go to the south, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's not going like as directly as he could be going. And here he's not gazing. Here, in other words, he's not hugging the southern wall. Why doesn't he hug the southern wall? So let's take a look. So in other words, he should walk between the menorah and the southern wall. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda nami neil be menorah the kotel mishach reimane. His beganim is that sign for schmutz. His garments will get dirty if he goes. In other words, they have all of this schmutz on the wall. All right, and we'll see in a minute. Now, let me just...
But why, according to the one who says you hug the northern wall, don't you get schmutzy?
No. It means like this, that the in the northern wall, you have the shulchan. The shulchan is bread. The bread is clean. You leave it there. In the southern wall, you have the menorah. So the soot
from the ashes. Yeah,
and that's what it gets. Okay, let me just do a little bit of Rabbeinu Chananel. We'll do a few other things, then we'll break. Okay, let's look at Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, in Rabbeinu Chananel, in my Gemara, it's around the fifth narrow line on the left-hand column. He says, "Hello, Tireh." Okay, let me make it the third line. Rabbi Yossi Amalach, Habib in Israel, Shalit Shrihan, HaKetub Lazeh. Hello, Tireh, Kibbukol Hashana, Kitzrichol HaKetub Lekoim, B'Kom Shliach, HaKashat HaRimonim, B'Tokap HaMonim. That we always require, like, these knockers and the bells. Kibbushashi HaVol HaKosh L'Bosh HaMe'il, Shuk Yishliach HaMagid, Lomar, Rotzili Kanes. In other words, the bells are like the shliach saying he wants to enter. He's like ringing the doorbell. Now in Yom Kippur, when he enters the Kodesh Kedashim, lo Yehuda. So therefore, we're not worried that he'll go straight into the, you know, through the doorway into the Kodesh Kedashim and everything. Now's the day. He's like a Ben. Okay. He's a Ben Bayit. Yeah. Okay. Now let me just say some other things on the staff. First, let me talk about, we'll see how much time we have. Let's talk about the Bar Shmutz walls. Now the Sharim Mitzvim Ba'alacha wonders why they neglect to clean the walls of the Heichal, allowing soot from the menorah to gather and stain the wall of the Heichal, which seems to indicate a lack of Kvod HaMikdash, didn't even the base of Mikdash. So why are the walls so Bar Shmutz? In the answer, he cites the Gemara Pesachim on Samachay, which says the Kohen would walk knee-deep in the blood of Korbanot, this signified how beloved the avoda was to them. Similarly, suggests the Sharim Misfina Balaka. Again, Sharim Misfina Balaka was a Reb Brown, and he has Svarim on Shas, but he also has on Halacha, and his sefer was very hot. I think around 70 years ago. Anyway, says the soot of the menorah was considered a mark of honor on the walls of the Heichal for demonstrating their love for the midst of killing the menorah. The Chasam Sofer applies this concept to spots on an esrog and sukkahs. He argues that an esrog that is used for the mitzvah by a great number of people and becomes stained from the repeated handling is the desirable esrog. Even though it is preferable to have a flawless esrog, one that becomes stained from repeated use is considered beautiful in the eyes of Hashem, just as it was considered praiseworthy for the Kohen to sully themselves with the blood of Korbanos. You know, Amisha, I read a story once about Jews in Poland in September of 1939, when World War II began, and so it was Sukkot was at the very beginning of the war, and they didn't have so many lulavim and esrogim around, but they had like one person was able to get together arba minim, and people lined up for hours just to be able to wave the lulav and esrog, and the esrog, which was normally like gold, it was like all black by the time people were done with it, but they were just so eager to do the mitzvah, and that's the way it is with that. Now he has another piece here. What's it again? What? Yeah, so the only thing is, I don't know about the chatzitza part. I don't know. That's interesting. If this, so you have a dirty estrog, is that a chatzitza? I don't know. Anyway, now another thing I want to mention, you know, you had asked me a while ago, Michael, you asked me, I think, where the Israelim stood on Yom Kippur and the Azara. You asked me that?
Where?
In the Azara, yeah. They stood. So I spoke to a number of people. I spoke to Rav Shachter about it. He says that the Israelim were only in the Ezra's Israel, which is the 11 armor band. So they are squished in the narrow area. Yeah, narrow area.
One of the things I've read is that they're
where?
Back here, behind the
Kachi. Oh, so that's not the way he was saying, but all right.
Anyway, now, I'll explain later. He had, all right, but now, let me just do a little piece with these two parochot. All right, I'll leave it. Okay. Wait. Here's one more thing. Michael doesn't like these stories, but maybe we'll do a little bit today. Okay. Brace yourself. Okay. So he says, this is from the Aladaf. So it's a question: which route the Kohen Gadol takes? Does he go like near the menorah, or does he go near the Shulchan? So the Chidah states that every element of the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash teaches a very deep lesson about coming close to Hashem. The Shulchan represents supporters of Torah, but could also symbolize those who learn Bekiyas. Whereas, because Chazal explained, the Torah has been laid out clearly before the Jewish people, like a Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan represents Bekiyas, like widespread knowledge. The Menorah represents those who learn Torah in depth, and the Mizbeach represents Tefillah. There are many ways to approach the Kodesh Kadashim, and each person must find his own way to utilize his very strength to achieve the lofty goal. As we see in the metaphor conveyed by the Braisa, he says, some find they are successful by focusing their energies on learning Torah in depth, like that would be the Menorah Derech. And some find that they cover a lot of ground, it would be the Shulchan Derech. What works for one person will not necessarily work for another. And then he quotes from Ramosha Shmuel Shapiro. Yeah, please, just one minute, please. All right. Okay. David, just give me one thing. Okay. So Ramosha Shmuel Shapiro was once warned by the Brisker Rav, the method of studying Brisk is not suited for every person or for every ability. Some people have more of a talent for Bekiyas and some for sharp analysis, still others have a stronger talent for innovative lines of reasoning. Brisker Rav continued, each person must search for his particular way to learn Torah. Someone whose talents are not suited for learning by the Brisker method and goes against his natural tendencies to force himself into our mold will never develop those talents that he does have, and he will not miss the Brisker method of learning either. He wants to say the Shulchan represents Bekiyas, the Menorah represents Iyun, and in some people hold you go by the Shulchan, some people go by the Menorah. Everybody has their own Derech. Okay, that's it. All right, that's he mentioned it. He mentioned that already, but.